Welcome back. This is Negawani with me, Ibrahim Sani. We want to go more into the food security element as well. We're looking at the United States Secretary of State, Anthony Blinken. He has said that the war in Ukraine is creating the greatest global food security crisis of our time. And of course, Russia and Ukraine produce a third of the world's wheat supply, and the loss of commodities due to the war has resulted in soaring food prices and uncertainty about the future of food as well as the future of food security globally. As part of the effort to address the crisis, Anthony Blinken said that the conversation will focus on how they can collaborate with the United Nations. Meanwhile, United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres said that the Russian invasion in Ukraine is amplifying and accelerating all these other factors, including climate change, COVID-19, as well as inequality across various nations. It threatens to tip tens of millions of people over the edge into food insecurity, followed by malnutrition, mass hunger, famine, and a crisis that could last for years.
But let's be clear, there is no effective solution to the food crisis without reintegrating Ukraine's food production, as well as the food and fertilizer produced by Russia and Belarus, into world markets despite the war. Developing countries must have access to liquidity so that they can provide social protection to everyone in need. International financial institutions need to step in with generous investments to prevent a global debt crisis. There is no answer to the food crisis without an answer to the finance crisis.
So this has also had some trickle-down effect into Malaysia as well. This is because the government has agreed not to impose, with immediate effect, the approved permit or AP requirement to input foodstuffs into the country. This is coming in from the Prime Minister, Datuk Seri Ismail Sabri Yaakob himself. He said that the decision was reached at the cabinet meeting chaired by him on Wednesday yesterday towards ensuring sufficient food supply in the country. The PM says that this will enable all parties to import any food items into the country, and how this would try to work together with MAFI, or the Ministry of Agriculture and Food Industries, and all these other details would be announced later. So here to unpack all of this is Dr. Juwita Mohamad, Director of Economics and Business Unit at IDEAS. She's also the Acting Director of Research at IDEAS. Dr. Juwita, let's go through some of the details that we know of right now. Details are scant, but even though they rather scant to come by, there's enough for us to make sense of this. Perhaps you can elaborate more.
So, yes, it is wonderful news, I feel. And this announcement would mean different things to different people. So let's take a look at importers, for example. If you're an importer, you do not need to have a special permit or a special license to import food items like rice, beef, lamb, and even cabbages. Currently, or before this announcement, we needed APs for importers importing these products from abroad. For the market itself, it means that since there is no cap on AP, so imports for food items can flow into the country more easily without additional barriers to tariffs and non-tariff barriers. So again, this would mean that non-tariff barriers like the AP is going to be eliminated. This would then reduce the cost for importing products that may be passed on to customers all this while. There will be no more monopolies or oligopolies or oligopolistic behavior in the market when you have supply being controlled by a main player or a few players. Of course, prices are also controlled by these players in the absence of price controls and also subsidies. And again, the absence of price controls and subsidies may take place if the government is serious about subsidy rationalization in the near future. So to households, good news, and consumers, with the elimination of such barriers, as we saw, importers are now able to import food items now based on local demand. With more competition and trade, food items can now be brought into the country based on quality, based on variety, and based on competitive costs or prices. So again, without a middleman, food prices may be reduced for selected products to a certain extent, but I don't foresee this measure being the sole factor in bringing down food prices in the medium to long term.
Dr. Juwita Haris here. You're saying that in terms of the industrial player, while we know it could cut middlemen, but how would this be enforced, you think?
That is a very good question. So again, when the Prime Minister announced that the AP will be revoked for all food items, does this also mean rice? Does this also mean it covers beef and lamb? So because, as we know now, there's several entities that are in charge of, for example, for rice and for beef and lamb, for the halal certification or halal stamping, what would it mean to them, these agencies? What would their roles be then? For rice imports, we did have a sole importer. So again, what would it mean to that agency specifically when there's no more APs for this? I feel that this is a very good move. It liberalizes the food market a bit more, and it's very much in line with Malaysia as a small open economy. But again, implementing wise, I think MAFI would need to come up again with a very concrete guidelines for those who are interested to import food items.
Okay, we're having some issues with the visual of Dr. Juwita, but for now, we just want to understand a little bit more about how this could come into the details of liberalizing the market, as per what Dr. Juwita has said. We're also trying to understand a little bit more about how more items entering the market, creating more competition. Perhaps in theory, prices would be cheaper because the supply is outdoing the demand, and therefore it's pushing down the price equilibrium. All this, of course, is in theory. Dr. Juwita, do you agree that this theory could actually take place in actuality?
That's why I mentioned that to a certain extent, the revocation of revoking the AP would reduce the cost of certain products to a certain degree. But I don't think it alone can combat the rising prices of goods, especially for food products. So again, when you think about what the government, not only the Malaysian government, but many governments in the region to combat rising cost of living, we have introduced again subsidies and also price controls. And I would like to let everyone know that this is not free. It comes with a cost. Subsidies cost money. Price controls cost money. So in the short term, we do understand that this can remedy price hikes to a certain extent, but in the long term, the government needs to move away from such measures as, again, I mentioned, it is costly to the people, and it allocates resources away from the other sectors that are needing of reforms, for example. So again, price controls and subsidies come at a cost, and in the long run is unsustainable. So at IDEAS, we believe that to help vulnerable households, a more formalized social safety net is needed to cushion the blow. And again, wages need to increase in a timely fashion, mirroring the demand and supply on the ground.
Dr. Juwita, do you find that the timing of this announcement is interesting? Why do you think the government is doing this now?
This is very, very interesting. It's very, this announcement again. Again, this is speculative. I have no insider's information
why
on this.
Why don't you give us the inside baseball of why you think that's the case? It's always nice to speculate early in the morning, like right now.
So again, it is interesting to note the timing of this announcement right after the Prime Minister, he just came back from the U.S. ASEAN summit in the U.S. The U.S. has always been interested to export beef into the country, but due to certain controls over halal certification as well as the AP licensing, they were not able to import, to export to Malaysia as widely as they would like to. So again, this is good news, especially because I still remember the scandal with the supposedly halal meat imported from Australia a couple of years ago. I hope that with this liberalization of the food market, such scandals will not be repeated on the ground, and again, transparency will be restored in terms of trade activities.
Okay, rather optimistic. It's good. However, the skeptic in me would probably question the idea of how this is going to be implemented. But Dr. Juwita, thank you very much for such an optimism early in the day. That was Dr. Juwita Muhammad, Director of Economics and Business Unit at IDEAS, also the Acting Director of Research at IDEAS. We're taking a short break. When we come back, we'll take a look at the bloody market of Thursday morning at Bursa Malaysia. We'll be right back after these messages.